Okay, welcome to Black People Love Paramore, a podcast where we chat about the traditionally quote-unquote unblack things black people go up for. Please rate us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, 5 stars only, because we are 5-star bitches. Word to Yo Gotti. I'm your host, Sequoia, and joining me today, we have a special guest. He is a television writer for a plethora of shows at this point, a stand-up comic, and he plays James on Freeform's original series, Single Drunk Female, and also my boyfriend, Garrick Bernard.
Hey, it's me again. I'm back, bitches. Let's go.
You've been on the podcast. I forget that you have been on the podcast before. It was like 8 years
ago. Wow, I can't believe you are forgetting the times when your love has joined the podcast, but it's okay. Don't worry about
it. How could I forget?
It's hurtful. It's hurtful. It hurts my feelings every time. Let's do it.
I mean, I think you're going to be fine. So today we are talking about something that is near and dear to Garrick's heart. Yep. Which means absolutely, it means nothing to me at all. But I noticed a lot of you Negroes like it. Y'all seem to have a strong affinity. A lot of you Negroes, because I'm nothing like you Negroes, a lot of you seem to have.
Oh my God, this is so disrespectful. Why did we get here?
A lot of you seem to this disrespectful place. A strong affinity for Kung Fu. And I think I can understand. Yeah. But I thought that I would bring on.
The wild thing is, you love like MMA, you love combat sports. So the fact that you haven't seen a good, I think it's because you haven't seen a good Kung Fu movie. I think that's what it is. I think you
does Rush Hour constitute?
No,
it's
not. Although it is fantastic and it is perfect. And Jackie Chan is the reason why most black people exist. I feel like he spread his wings. And Michael J. White saw him and he was like, I'm going to be that. And then
a plethora of
anime Negroes.
There's a black man saying that the reason that all of us exist is Jackie Chan. I just would like, you know, this to go on record as what it is. That's a very strong
He is the,
But before we get into Jackie Chan, he's the father of the black race. Before we get into Jackie Chan at all. And the general kung fu of it all, we have our first segment called In My Defense. In My Defense segment, where we bring one controversial opinion and we defend it for you all. Garrick, did you bring something to defend for the people? And on a level of 1 to 10, how controversial is this take?
It's a light 7.
Uh-oh. There's a man on my roof right now and he really just scared the fuck out of me. What the fuck is going on?
Is he working on it?
The hell he's doing. Anyways, okay, you said on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a light 7. That's pretty heavy.
It's a light 7.
That's way higher than I thought you were gonna go.
Higher.
Okay, now I'm interested because you do have controversial opinions, but none that you really share out loud like that. So
I feel like if I'm going to come on my girlfriend's podcast, I feel like I need to come with something that is near and dear to my heart, you know, some actual take, something that I truly believe.
We getting some real Garrick Bernard hot takes right now. All right, we ready for your In My Defense? What'd you defend it?
Okay, in my defense, I believe that being tall is a curse. I think that being 6'2 or taller means that you never really had to develop a personality, so you're just a piece of shit.
Wow. Okay, so now the people are going to want to know your height, Garrick. The people are going to want to know.
I am barely 5'10", standing my tallest. Okay, like, upright. Upright.
When you breathe in.
Like, like at the doctor, I have to, like take a breath in, stand with my chest out, like, literally feel and meditate to feel as if I am levitating to be 5'10".
Not levitating to get the height up. You know, I heard a rumor about you. I heard a rumor that you got a surgery in order to be taller. That you got surgery.
I got that back surgery.
In order to be taller. Is that true? Yes.
That is 100% true. I got a spinal surgery that added another spinal column or spinal piece disc to elongate my neck and make me half an inch taller. Yes,
that's what I thought. You know, I didn't want to out you just directly on the show, but you know,
no, it is. It is what it is.
I'm happy that you're willing to come to terms with that's absolutely what happened. That take is pretty. It's you know what? I have to agree. As a chronically short person, as someone who has spent the last 27 years below average height.
Yeah.
I have done just fine for myself.
Right. But you feel pressed often, I'm sure. And you go through life feeling pressed or getting pressed in general. So, I mean, you
never got pressed. Nobody gonna press
I mean,
me.
You've. Nobody all right. Me. Okay. Well, this is speaking on men, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There have been many a times where I have talked shit or on a light level to talk shit or whatever and have gotten swung on because this person did not want me to be talking to them in the way that I'm talking
swing.
To them. Niggas just swing. They either buck up or would be like, oh, what's going on, boss, blah, blah, blah. What are you talking about my mom? I would immediately go for people's moms. I think that might be the reason.
Wow.
But
that's what it is. It's not you talking about niggas' moms. That's
it might have been that. Somebody was talking about tattoos and then they talked about me being dark and they're just like, this is in middle school. And it's like, you probably have tattoos, but you're so dark, we can't see them. And I was like, yeah, you can't see that these are all the positions me and your mom do. So,
oh my God, middle school Rick, so edgy and edgelord.
I was an edgelord. Now we're fighting. And I feel like if I were taller, nobody would. Yeah, it's mad disrespectful. If I were taller, and that's what niggas do. Like, that's general talk. Like, that's just how people talk to each other.
Mm.
And I feel like if you're taller, you can build up a confidence because nobody's fucking reaching you. You know, nobody's reaching your chin. So me being reachable means that I am teachable. So they will swing.
If you're reachable, you are teachable.
Teachable.
Wow.
So that means that they will swing. They will do whatever. They will get in your face. If you're, you know, you can't like get into the face of somebody taller than you because you're getting in their chest, technically. So
you're getting in their chest,
I'm
and
saying,
that's embarrassing.
I'm saying that all of those situations build character. And they build a fear of man or at least a respect of man.
Okay.
So when you are tall, I'm watching Winning Time with the HBO show, talking about the Showtime Lakers. And I'm just watching Magic Johnson be super confident about being mediocre at best at basketball. For his time, he was great. But if he was in the league now, he'd get washed. But
mm-hmm.
I attribute a lot of that to him being tall. Like he grew up as a garbage man's kid. He would like, you know, on summers, he would, you know, pretty much take out the trash with his dad. He got really good at basketball. And within that, you know, 3-year span of time, everybody's talking to him like he's a god for one, being good at basketball. And then for two, being as tall as possible. Tiger Woods wasn't having that. You know, Tiger Woods was super good at golf. But nobody gave a shit because he's about as tall as the average person. So you're not really looking up to them.
Hi, I'm Kate Casey, an unscripted TV expert. 3 times a week, I interview the talent directors, producers, and hosts of television's most popular reality shows, docuseries, and documentaries. I get all the behind-the-scenes stories. I cover everything from The Bachelor, Selling Sunset, and Real Housewives to Tinder Swindler, The Last Dance, and Secrets of Playboy. Join me as I ask all the questions that you want asked. And best of all, I'm the most trusted source on what to watch every week. I will give you a guide on everything from true crime and sports to competition, calling from all streaming and cable networks. The best guests, the best shows and series, Reality Life with Kate Casey.
Wow. Well, you know what? That definitely tracks. Also,
yeah.
I would like to say, as someone who's been 5'2 for years,
mm-hmm.
it comes in handy on airplanes. If you are tall on an airplane, it just sucks for you because the thing about me is I'm always going to recline my seat. So
yeah.
It doesn't bother me when other people recline their seats because, again, my legs are 3 inches. And I'm always going to do it because my back hurts.
My back hurts all the time.
You tall people get the advantage in every other portion of life. On an airplane, this is my realm. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
You better pray and hope that you are rich enough to get first class or like that extra, you know, flight, whatever, the extra leg room joint or whatever. But yeah, I'm gonna put my seat back because I don't really give a fuck about you about who's behind me, all of that stuff. This is the only time that I could teach you a lesson.
Are we bad people? Does this make us bad
maybe.
People?
Maybe. But you know who's worse? Tall people. Tall people are probably worse.
No, 100%. Okay, let's move on to the song of the week. I brought a song of the week that I know you're going to love because, you know, what song did you bring?
I brought Off the Wall by Michael Jackson. We have been on a light Michael Jackson kick. And I don't know what spawned it. I think I was just driving one day and I was like, oh, let me just, you know, I'm kind of tired of this liked playlist. Let me just play something. Let me just put something on. Let me just go back through a catalog. I started off with Stevie Wonder and I was like, man, he had some bangers. This is crazy. And then I was just like, let me just go back to why and figure out why everybody loved Michael Jackson so much. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I remember seeing a video of him just selling out a stadium and it's just, you know, 100,000 people, just him. And I'm like, there has to be a reason why. Maybe I was missing something. Maybe as an adult, I need to go back through his catalog and listen to his stuff just to be like what the whole vibe was. And when I tell you, I was losing my mind just listening to this man, not for the first time, but just like for the first time as an adult.
Like he really was sitting with it, like as an adult.
Sitting with it and like comparing it to music of today's era. He was so ahead of his time. It's truly astounding to even think about.
The layers in it is actually very crazy. The production of it, everything was really fucking crazy. You literally text me one day, just out of nowhere. You were like, Michael Jackson's incredible. like 2 months ago. You're like, Michael Jackson is fucking incredible. And I was like, yes, how do we arrive here? And you're right. Just like, I just been listening. It's been great. We took a little night drive, played some Michael Jackson, it hit.
Oh my God. Cause it makes you wanna, like, if you're stuck in traffic, it makes you wanna stop the car and get out and like La La Land and dance on top of your car. Because it's a whole vibe that you have to experience and be entranced in and actually go out and do whenever you listen to Michael Jackson. I have never sat still listening to anything that he's put on or put out. I remember the day when he passed, I was at school and I don't know if this woman was a professor or a student there, and she was maybe a little bit older, but she was running through the quad, just telling every Black person she knew, Michael Jackson died. Michael Jackson died. It was almost like a Black Paul Revere about Michael Jackson's death.
So first of all, you couldn't tell if this first person was a student or a professor? How old?
No, how old was this person? She had to be, I was 19 at the time, so she's at least 32. So I was like looking at somebody who's 32 years old, being like, damn, this bitch old, or whatever.
Wow.
It was wild. It was very hilarious. I was very high at the time and eating a Subway sandwich with my buddy Robert.
You're just a heathen. Oh my gosh.
I was bad. I should have dropped out earlier, but yeah.
And you were 19. Oh, you were 19. Okay, you were in college. Okay, because I was about to say, Michael Jackson died at the end of June. Why was you still in school? You were in college.
Yeah.
This makes sense.
It might have been a summer class at like a community college.
It was probably a summer class.
Okay, yeah, my parents love doing that shit.
Now that we're on the topic of Michael Jackson, I have a song that I brought as well. Can you guess? Can you just say, I'm going to give you three guesses. The artist is not Michael Jackson. I'm going to give you three guesses.
Oh, it's the fucking Weeknd with some bullshit. Oh my God.
Weeknd's number one fucking fan. We are going to Coachella next weekend, and Garrett gets to see The Weeknd, and he's really excited about it.
I am disgusted. I need to before the people. I feel like I need to explain why I don't like him.
Please explain why you don't like The Weeknd. Go for
one
it.
One day, I mean, back to High Escapades. This is like when I first started smoking. So like, again, 19. Driving my friends around. I am pretty high. And just driving, just being, I'm skipping over my words because I'm like, should I announce that I was driving under the influence? But I don't care.
I thought you were sober, first of all. James said that he was sober, so I'm confused.
Oh, James is not me. Haha. He is a character I play on television.
That's crazy.
But, you know, I was high driving and my friend put on some Weeknd song. I don't remember what it was. I think he put on an album. So it was like two or three songs deep. And you know when you're high and you're really like caught up in your own thoughts and then the world kind of, you know, launches into whatever deep thought that you're having?
Yes.
I feel like that's what happened with The Weeknd, but with like his shaky ass lamb voice. And I had such a pure reaction to the disdain that I had for him, where I was just like, what is this sound?
Boo.
Get it off. Turn it off. Turn it off right now, because this is terrible. Whoever the singer is, I do not like his voice. And maybe it could have been he was going in and out of the waviness that I don't really like, where they're going in and out of pitch. And I'm just like, why would you, this in and out of pitch thing that like truly annoys me. It almost sounds like if a fly gets in your ear, like that,
oh
like kind of
noise. The thing Garrick hates, it is a fly getting in his ear and music that sounds out of pitch. So it's really funny that those two things are connected, because you said separately how you hate each of those things. And it's funny that you connect those things as well.
And The Weeknd is that to me.
And The Weeknd is a fly that's in your ear.
That's in my ear. Okay. Yes.
You're wrong, but sure, we'll go with that. The song that I brought, you're not even going to know the song, but it's House of Balloons / Glass Table Girls by The Weeknd. It's early The Weeknd. And this song has been just really getting to me lately. I don't know what about this song has really been getting to me, but I miss druggy The Weeknd more than his current. He's in a demon era right now that's terrifying. I'm actually not looking forward to seeing him at Coachella, because he's doing this weird demonic shit. His last album, what was it called? It was something FM. I don't remember. Something FM. This last album that came out, I listened to it once through and had to sage my fucking house afterward, because it was demonic.
It
had little interstitials in there that were telling people to kill themselves. It's too much. I don't know what he's going
to
do.
I didn't get to that
like
part.
You didn't listen to it. What are you talking about? You didn't get to that part.
I listened to it.
You did?
I listened to it. Yeah, I did actually like it. I liked it enough.
You did? Who are you?
I don't know. I liked it enough to where I was like, I wasn't going to rethink his discography, but I was like, oh, this is like a fun vibe. I get why people like him. I was at least coming around to, I get it.
Wow.
I do, because I think I love disco and like funk stuff over a lot.
Yeah. And this one, he definitely has been more in a disco-y era with these last couple albums than the previous material he's put out. But I miss his dark pop era. His dark pop, his
Toronto era.
His Toronto era, his pure drug. All I talk about is drugs in my music.
Right.
The Weeknd. I loved that. I miss his musty hair. His musty hair. His hair just looked like it had a stench to it. The palm tree hair.
You miss like the large three dreads that he had.
The large three dreads. I was so sad when he cut it off. I was like, you just look like any other nigga now. You look like any other light-skinned nigga now. Before,
oh my God. He looked dirty. That's not good. He looked greasy.
I wasn't I didn't think he was cute. I just liked it.
Right. He looked like one of those like back massagers from home economics or whatever the fuck that shit is that you kind of just put on
like
your back.
A machine.
A machine,
A back massager.
Yeah.
Stop. Leave The Weeknd alone. It's like essentially if Post Malone suddenly started cleaning up. I don't want that. Like, why would I you want kind of, that?
I get why you would want like a greasy Post Malone. You need a greasy Post Malone. You need somebody to be sultrily singing while looking like a dirty dish rag. That's fair.
There are very few niggas who were singing back in the day who also look good. Have you ever seen Marvin Gaye?
Yeah, Marvin Gaye.
Wasn't giving.
No.
Wasn't giving at all, no.
But I mean, that's because people, you didn't need to see them as often, right? So like now you're seeing them constantly and it's just like, ooh, you are tough to look at. I can't even hear what you're singing.
Because you're fucking ugly.
That's the sad reality of America, where we'll put like the prettiest people on TV that are not, you know, good at this.
Oh, is that a light flex? Well, you are good at this, but is that a flex?
I was talking about myself. I was like, you know, I think I look good, but I'm like, I can use some work, like an acting department. Yeah, but I mean, I'm also talking about like with singers, where it's just like, oh my god, this person sounds terrible, but they're, I mean, I'll listen because if I see them at a party or something like that, it's just like I might faint, you know. So it switched over to where it was just like all radio stuff, and it's just like, all right, it doesn't really matter, I'm just listening to it with Marvin Gaye. It's like, I don't care what Marvin Gaye looks like. He sounds incredible.
Yeah. You know, that's fair. You know, that's very fair. I feel like it's a what is that called? Like an inversely relational, like they're inversely related. The better you look, the worse you become. And that is true for The Weeknd. The Weeknd used to be great, and he's just been on a steady decline. The more he turns into a regular light-skinned nigga, the worse he gets. I'm like, please, just grow the hair back out.
I think that fame is a disease, and it makes you work less. It's almost like riding a bike downhill, whereas like you already got up there and now you're going down. And it's just like, I don't need to work as, I have so much momentum. I don't need to work as hard, and I don't need to pedal as hard because I'm already moving, whew, you know?
I can't wait till I get to this. My God.
Right. Yes. Right. So he's like, I can put out whatever because people will listen to it regardless. You kind of see that with like comics.
And I hate that for y'all. Comics do the same shit?
Sometimes. Well, I mean, there's a thing where you'll go on, or comics will go on stage, and because they're already famous, everybody's laughing regardless. It doesn't matter who it is. You're so famous that you don't really have to work out a thought. So your material either get worse or stay in the same place and stay stagnant.
I was going to name a couple people by name that I feel like fall into that, but I'm not. Because you have a career in this.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I'm going to let them rock. Anyway, let's move on to the main topic. We're talking about Kung Fu today.
Yes.
Like I said, I don't know. And I literally don't know shit about Kung Fu. I researched it for this podcast. Mm-hmm. And here's what I came up with. I'm going to give you a little brief synopsis. And then, Garrett, I'm going to let you talk about Kung Fu and your thoughts behind it and all that stuff.
Let's do it.
Kung Fu is a primarily unarmed Chinese martial art resembling karate, okay? The rest of this information came from a video from The Guardian that was on YouTube. It was a very informative video. It was really good. I'll link it. I might not. I might forget. But here's the information. Kung Fu comes to the States in the 70s, in the 1970s, and it's often featured themes of resistance, which coincided with the Black Power movement of the time. The term white devils was a common phrase in Kung Fu films. That says a lot. I like that. Mm-hmm. Kung Fu shifted the blaxploitation genre away from relying solely on negative stereotypes of blackness and began depicting the black leads in a more positive, heroic way, akin to the way leads in Kung Fu films were portrayed. And the leads in blaxploitation films were doing martial arts. Also, they began doing martial arts. So that's a little brief synopsis of the Kung Fu genre. Gary, questions for you.
Yes.
Have you ever done any martial arts?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. I've been, I did when I was soul searching after high school. I did Krav Maga for like 4 years, 4 or 5 years. And then I picked up Muay Thai after that. So since I was like 18, I had been on and off. But I love it. There is a weird camaraderie that kind of comes during like our Krav Maga classes. We had this thing called like the white night where you work out from 6 p.m. to 6 o'clock in the morning. So you're literally the most tired you've ever been in your life. And the only reason why you keep going is because of the people around you doing it. So with that, I feel like that is the spirit of martial arts. Is okay. Suffering together, you know, because you always see these kung fu movies and they're just like all about resilience and pushing through your boundaries and or pushing through a glass ceiling and all of that stuff. So when you're taking that spirit into working out, it's just really nice to see. It's a really nice depiction of resolve.
My name is Tom Buck, and this is The Enthusiasm Project. Join me each week for deep dives exploring the world of what it means to be an independent creator on YouTube, starting your own creative business, and keeping a positive, enthusiastic mindset along the way. New episodes of The Enthusiasm Project are available every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, and when you're working out from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., first of all, how many times did you do that?
I did that 4 times.
You did it every year that you did Krav Maga? You did that 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. shit?
Yeah.
That's crazy. What does that even mean? Like, how do you work out for 12 hours?
It's just silly stuff that he would make up throughout the night. So it was like mostly, you know, practicing strikes and all that stuff, mostly cardio stuff. And then as the dawn broke, we were like on the beach. So like the actual dojo was by Santa Monica Pier, and we would run to the pier, run on the beach, run into the water, run back, all kinds of like weird stuff that truly like once. And that's like in the morning. That's after you've been working out for probably like 8 hours. Right. You're so tired and so over it. And now you're being thrown into a current, you know, now you're being thrown into waves.
And something about that was like, for you, you were like, I want to do it again.
Yeah.
And
again. Because it every time it would come up, it's almost.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show. And this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
It's almost tapping into the toxicity that's in all males, where it's just like, man, I ain't no bitch. Like, bro, I'm going to do this. I'm going to fucking do this. I'm not going to lose. I'm not going to lose out to the other guys that are doing this. I need to be able to. It wasn't even competitive. It was just the fact that I need you to see that I can keep up with you.
It was competitive for you in your head.
Yes.
It was competitive.
Yeah.
That sounds psychotic.
But like after you do it, after you're done, there's this weird form of euphoria where you're like, I can't believe I finished that. I cannot believe that this happened. I cannot believe that I've done this 4 times.
You know? If it's one thing you could do, it is, what is that called? delayed gratification. You're good at delayed gratification. You're going to do the hard thing now in hopes that it pays off later.
Yeah, it's like it's a patience
hoping to get there. Yeah, I don't have it. Hoping to get there. But that's crazy. I can't believe you did that shit 4 years in a row. I knew you did it once. And I saw the photos of you going into the water or something.
Yeah.
Four times is absolutely insane.
Truly painful. Truly painful. But it's going to stick out in my mind. It's like one of those. It's the same reason why anybody does like those Tough Mudder races or the Spartan races or anything like that, or a marathon. It's just it's so crazy that I trained for this and then finished it, and now I get to say that I did it to my kids later.
Running a marathon is so crazy to me. I can't even imagine at all.
Yeah, that does sound that whole, like, you know, people running and then their nipples are bleeding. I'm like, yo, you should go
I'm
home.
Sorry.
Have you not seen people's nipples bleed from chafing?
Sorry. From what do you mean? What do you mean? Please.
You're not wearing like the tape over your nipples and whatnot or whatever. Your shirt will rub up against your nipples so often that it'll chafe and
you
bleed.
You are the fuck lying.
No. It's wild.
What type of sadistic, wild shit is that?
It's wild. It's truly disgusting. But people do it and they love it and they get like the runner's high and they're just like,
That's a myth.
That's a myth. I feel like it's a myth too.
Capitalism.
I feel like it's a myth too. I feel like it's a weird sadistic way that runners try to convince themselves that this is good for them or a good thing, even though that running that distance is not good. Yeah.
It's not even good for you. It's bad for your knees. Garrett knows. Garrett ran. You used to be a runner boy, a runner on a track star.
And my knees are fucked. Like, my knees hurt constantly.
And yeah, he always still trying to kick somebody. Always still trying to do little Tai Chi or Krav Maga or what is it?
Muay Thai.
Muay Thai. Why do I always say Tai Chi? How do I get there?
I don't know. The Thai. Honestly.
That's what it is.
It's just like, Thai. Is it a tie?
He be doing
is it tippy tie?
Tai Chi? I absolutely thought of a sippy tie. Anyways, what's your favorite kung fu based art? It could be a film, it could be a song, whatever. I don't know if anime is kung fu based, but it could be, you know, whatever.
It's probably the films. It's probably the films because the way that they choreograph stuff, especially nowadays, like in the modern era, they've gotten so good at, in a lot of like modern films, they'll do this thing. And Jackie Chan is probably attributed to this, but they'll do this thing where they'll have the camera be like shaky to show motion or whatever, to show that, you know, and kind of like hide the fact that the actors aren't moving as fast. Like in all of the Bourne movies, it's just like, oh, move with his hand and it looks like it's going super fast. Oh my gosh. But in actuality, it's not. Whereas in kung fu films, in martial arts films, they want to showcase the martial art. So they want to showcase how good these people are at doing the fighting, doing the choreography. Okay. So they kind of play it like comedy where they play it in the wide and just have them like go at it for a while and just show the choreo. It's almost like a dance where it's just like, you don't want to zoom in on people doing choreo in a music video. You want to zoom out and kind of let them, you know, do it at the same time. So you can see people, you know, Jabberwocky's doing the poppets and the lockets and all that shit. So you want to see all of that. Cause you've been practicing this thing for, you know, for years and you want to put it on display. I feel like that is, I don't want to say like the ultimate because they're not, you know, they're not really hitting each other. You know, you're not, whenever you do kung fu or you do Muay Thai in real life, it doesn't look like that. But when it is on display and shown, it is incredible. It is incredible to watch. It's truly like breathtaking to watch somebody kind of miss somebody else and like counter perfectly and all of that stuff. Like there's this series of movies called The Ip Man. It's talking about Bruce Lee's teacher and just watching him do, I forgot the name of his martial art, but watching him do it is incredible.
Oh yeah, back to the point that you made about, like you said, in a, like a music video, when you want to see the wide because you want to see the choreography that they're doing. That's a really good point, because
it's called Wing Chun.
Wing Chun is a type of martial arts that he was doing. And music videos, like if you cut, if you are cutting too often, or like you're too tight in the shots, that lets me know that the person's
not can't dancing. Dance. They can't dance.
Yeah, like they can't dance, and you're trying to cut and make it look cool and dynamic because they're not cool and dynamic.
Right, exactly.
Which definitely makes sense for choreography.
Right. When you go to a Britney Spears fucking music video, that shit is wide as hell because she's hitting that bitch. She's hitting that shit constantly.
Tell the girls about Brit Brat. Tell the girls.
She's fucking all that shit. Like it's like, goddamn. So when you go to like more modern music videos where people can rely on the camera tricks, and then you go and see them live, it's just like, oh, you aren't built for this. That's a shame.
Wow. Right. No, very much that you are not built for this, and you actually suck, and I hate that for you. Yes. Who's your favorite martial artist? Do you have a favorite martial artist? Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan?
I like Tony Jaa a lot. He's a Muay Thai guy.
Oh, you saying names. I ain't never heard in my life.
Oh, yeah, I like Tony Jaa. But there's a guy in this series of films called The Raid. It's two movies and...
Oh, like the Megan Thee Stallion song.
I'm sorry, what? Like the Megan Thee Stallion song.
Mm-hmm. Running through your nigga house like...
Like a Tomb Raider? No, I'm not talking about Tomb Raider.
Okay.
But I am talking about The Raid. But I'm looking up his name as well.
Okay.
Anyway, same as Ico something. Anyway, he is incredible. Like in The Raid movies, you're usually in martial arts films, it's usually super traditional and like super, you know, somebody wearing a martial arts gown, and they're going into like either feudal Japan or old China and all that stuff, and they're like they're doing the moves and they're doing the kata and all that stuff, and it's really and respectful. Mm-hmm. In The Raid movies, all of that shit goes out the window. It's okay. This is a nigga like with a knife trying to kill you as quickly as possible. There, whatever this martial arts style is, it is as brutal. It's truly disgusting.
And that's why you like it.
And it's such a shocking difference from going from like the Legend of the Drunken Master with Jackie Chan to this. You're watching somebody again be the son of a, you know, of a dojo, of a martial arts master or a dojo owner and all that stuff, teaching people how to do martial arts. And his son is developing his own style and being drunk, and it's Jackie Chan, and he's being hilarious while fighting. And that's like a skill on its own. We can get back to that later. Mm-hmm. But you go from that to The Raid, where there is a scene where a guy, you know, beats somebody up, stabs him like three times, takes his head and jumps through a door and forces dude's neck on like the ridge of the door. I knew that martial arts could probably look more brutal than it was. I think the most brutal I had seen at that time was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, where they're like, you know, they're like kind of murdering each other with like swords and shit. But going to that is even Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was like watching someone do a suspended ribbon dance. You know, it's just like all flowy and beautiful. And this is like the most metal martial arts I've ever seen. And it is fucking amazing.
This is
amazing.
Your fave?
Yes.
A sickness. Yes. Oh my God. That is the best. No.
As somebody that's grown up watching them, the stark difference is just so amazing. It's so dope to see. I swear to you, like,
you know what, you had had too much martial arts. You had like a lot of kung fu or whatever, and it wasn't satisfying you enough. It was like a gateway drug, like when you start off with a little bit of, you know, you just do one little bit of a hit of crack, and next thing you know, you're on heroin addict, as well as meth, like, because crack not hitting no more how it needs to. So now you gotta get, now you gotta find the next high high. That's what it
now
is.
I gotta
you
get
went
my
from
fix.
Regular violence to extreme violence, and that was your new fave. It sounds like a sickness.
It's not a sickness at all. It's not a sickness because it's like, I feel like this the same way in music where it's just like somebody playing a guitar, somebody playing an acoustic guitar is beautiful. So is somebody fucking playing with both of their hands doing a metal riff and it's just like causing something disturbing. But it's just like, God
Garrett,
damn.
Say listening to some fucking metal in the gym or just random times, just throwing on some metal. That sounds beautiful to you. As an avid emo girl and an electric guitar girl, you see the shirt, My Chemical Romance shirt on right now. I can't get into the metal.
I bet you the guitarist of My Chemical Romance has seen like Eddie Van Halen play the guitar and be like, yo, this is fucking, God damn, this is wild. Or any of like the Pantera dudes. Like they're really fucking going for it. And I think that you can appreciate the spectrum is what I'm getting at.
Okay.
I'm sure that Jackie Chan would look at Tony Jaa's films and be like, oh my God, he's really going for it. This is crazy. There are some like behind the scenes stuff that Tony Jaa does with him and his stuntmen. And he's really kicking these niggas. Like he's running and with Muay Thai, the contact points are your joints. So it's your knuckles, your elbows, and your knees.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant you were kicking somebody like in their kneecaps or like trying to like bend their elbow. And I was about to say that's.
I mean, they that's most martial arts. They'll go for your joints most of the time.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Oh my God! How traumatizing.
Yeah. But like these. There, the behind the scenes stuff, you're seeing him do like a flying knee, which is him getting a running start and kneeing somebody in the chest and then kicking them across the room. And I'm like, yo, these guys are really, they're doing the contact. That's crazy. So when you watch the movie and you see them actually get hit, they're actually getting hit. It's not like a fake thing. And that's, I think, incredible.
That's actually wild as fuck. Actually, very much incredible. Absolutely wild as fuck and insane as well. There are so many American Black references to Kung Fu in general.
Yeah.
In the world. Wu-Tang Clan.
Wu-Tang Clan, I think, really opened the floodgates with that.
100%. Founding member Wu-Tang Clan, RZA and ODB. Apparently saw Shaolin versus Wu-Tang in 1983. RZA loved it. Still one of his favorite movies to today. And formed Wu-Tang Clan based on that. He said he could identify with the themes of the movie. Like, it was like familial and us against them type situation. And also about resistance and whatever. He said a whole bunch of stuff. But that, like, inspired him.
Right. And I feel like as we, you know, talk about the race of it all, a lot of the themes that either Chinese filmmakers or Japanese filmmakers were going through were the same as Black Americans. So you're looking at people being resilient and you're like, we should have this type of resilience. How do we do that? And we learned, you know, some people took up a martial art because that's the only other thing that was telling you how to, you know, take up arms or defend yourself and all of that stuff. So you have like the Michael J. Whites or you have, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in that one in Enter the Dragon.
I was going to say that. Yeah. In that Kung Fu movie. Yeah.
So it's just, we just relate to those themes so much. And then it's just nice not seeing white people on screen all the time.
It's nice seeing like a non-white man hero or like as the protagonist.
Yeah. It's were you gonna say something? I'm sorry, I kinda paused.
Okay, I was gonna talk about Kung Fu Kenny as well. Kung Fu Kenny twofold, Rush Hour's Don Cheadle's character from Rush Hour 2, and then obviously Kendrick Lamar's alter ego during his Damn era. There's just like so much of it in Black culture. Did you know you remember the song Kung Fu Fighting?
Yeah.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Yeah. You know that's a Jamaican man?
I knew it was a Black man. I didn't know it was a Jamaican man.
That's a Jamaican
it
man.
It makes sense.
Named Carl Douglas. That song sold 11 million records worldwide and is one of the best-selling singles of all time.
Of all time?
Kung Fu Fighting. Of all time. One of the best-selling singles of all time.
It's such a easy song. And then also, people just fucking love Kung Fu. Like, it's just cool. You, nobody knew that. Because I guess that's fucked up. Anyway, nobody really knew that you could do these types of things with your body. Like, it was kind of just like this hidden art that just came across the pond.
That's a great point.
In such a huge way where you're just like, yo, they're fucking doing backflips into niggas' knees. Like, what?
Bodies?
What the, with their body? Yeah. Like, oh my God, this is, he just did a flip kick. What kind of stuff? And then also you have video games coming out doing where you have like fighting games showcasing Kung Fu. You have like Street Fighter 1 and 2 coming out, and that's taking its own.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
The video game of it all.
Its own like chunk of space in pop culture, to where there was just a certain period of time where everybody had Kung Fu fever. Everybody was trying to learn how to do things. And then they got, you know, Chuck Norris, world karate champion, and they're just like, we finally got a white man. Oh my God. Thank God. Thank God he finally got one back on top. I feel like America would have fallen apart if Chuck Norris didn't come.
If they didn't get them a white man that could come and martial art them up.
Yeah. I truly believe that once you saw someone actually do the art and actually fight, and it took away from the cowboyness of it all, where I think that's what was on TV primarily at that time. Mm-hmm. And you're just like seeing somebody kill from a distance. There's this one quote, I don't know who said it, but worst invention that man created was the ability to kill from a distance, because you don't get to see your opponent pass. You don't get to see them.
Yeah, that, carry that
the impact of how, you know, hurtful that can be to take a life. And yep. I feel like, again, with a lot of Kung Fu movies, life is so beautiful and substantial, and they really take care of the weights of it all, to where it's just like the hero always hesitates before actually hitting somebody and doing that like palm thing in their chest and all that stuff to make their heart explode. It's just like, I'm sorry I had to do this to you, man. Or it was
that's a Kill Bill reference. I forgot about that. That's crazy. That's like in Spider-Man, when in the last Spider-Man we saw, what was that one called?
Far From Home.
Spider-Man Far From Home.
No Way Home. Oops.
No Way Home. Spider-Man No Way Home. When Andrew Garfield's character was saying that he got bitter and angry, mm-hmm. and he stopped pulling his punches back.
Yeah.
That's just what that made me think of. When he said pulling his punches back, he meant like he was trying to kill niggas, right?
He was trying to kill niggas for real. Yeah, because like, they are, he could lift a bus and stop a train mid-motion, and then also hit a normal person in the face and not kill them or not, like make their face explode. So he's saying,
right.
I'm not doing that anymore. I am going to fully hit you in the chest as hard as I can. And that will make a normal human probably implode. So yeah, he's not pulling his punches anymore. And it's truly like disturbing. It would have been a very gruesome set of movies.
Once again, we have white man doing something a little bit savage.
Yeah.
And we have non-white man, the Kung Fu man,
mm-hmm.
doing things the humane and natural way, putting their hands on people's hearts and squeezing them to stop the pain.
It is the humanity of it all is the there are certain things in Kung Fu movies where it's just like, I need to help my fellow brother, whether or not we're fighting right now. And I think that is, again, the beauty of it, where, I mean, we watch Rod Tang fight all the time. Rod Tang.
Our guy. That's our Rod Tang.
Hit Jung Young or something. I don't want to say.
I don't even know his damn last name.
Yeah, his last name is
Rod Tang. What's his last name?
No, Rod Tang is his first name. His name is not Jimmy Rod Tang. His name is Rod Tang
Jimmy Rotang. If y'all have never seen, like, if you are into MMA or anything of the sort, just Google Rotang.
This it is phonetic.
Is a fucking menace.
He's a incredible monster.
It's crazy.
They call him the Iron Man.
I don't even want to spoil the surprise and say like exactly what he does, but go, Garrick. They call him the Iron Man.
I won't spoil the surprise either. Just watch him. But I brought him up to say like this is somebody who is so brutal, who is literally like just beating the shit out of other people for money constantly. He has over 500 fights, and I think he's won 3/4 of them. So this is somebody who does that for money. And then after every fight, he is just as humble as humanly possible. He's bowing to the person.
Shocking. It's shocking every single time.
He's talking shit mid-fight. Like, come on, let's do this, blah, blah, blah. But he does all of that out of respect, one, for his opponent, and respect for the art itself. Because... Yeah. It's a religion to these guys. The art of combat is a way of life. And the only way that they can practice their way of life is through assaults, which is, you know,
damn.
It's the unfortunate truth of it all, but it's what they believe. And it's something that when you fight someone, you truly like get down on your knees and be like, man, thank you so much for pushing me to this point. And that's why I feel like tall people are a menace to society, because they've never had that. They've never fought. They've never fully one-on-one somebody, because nobody can reach them. Nobody's going to be like, I'm going to swing on this dude.
Pussy!
Yeah, right. Like, nobody's like been like, yo, let's go outside. I'll do it.
Oh, you do it? You got that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll fight somebody. Get him there. You know who else I feel like would quickly 1v1 somebody?
Mm.
Nicki Minaj. And I will end on some lyrics from Nicki that includes, I'll end on a couple of lyrics. The first one being
Nicki Minaj fights. For sure.
A little song called Motorsport by Migos, and Nicki Minaj is featured on it. And she says, oh, she doesn't say Kung Fu specifically. She talks about Jackie Chan. Rap Jackie Chan, we ain't pulling them fake stunts. My crown won't fit on your bum ass lace fronts.
Ooh.
You know, just embedded in the culture. You know, she calls herself
Chun-Li all the time. That is a Street Fighter Chun-Li character yet again.
Yes. She be talking about, I'm the bad guy, Chun-Li. I hear that Chun-Li's not even the villain.
She's so not.
I'm
she's confused. Not the villain in
maybe
the
Nicki don't
Street
actually
Fighter
be paying attention. Yeah,
she's not.
She
but
actually don't. Yeah,
but it, I mean, hey, she still said it. She still raised
she
the stars
so
of Street Fighter.
She understands she's here.
She understands.
Another reference to Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan seems to be the one that Nick is really
Jackie Chan
for.
Is the one. When Jackie Chan, if anything happens to my boy, I will be heartbroken. I this is, again, somebody who I was raised with. This represented a great time with me and my father of just watching Jackie Chan movies.
You said you were raised with him. He don't know you.
But
he doesn't know you.
He doesn't know. That's fine. That's okay. I'm not the one to be a fan of anybody. But listen, I will, like, if Jackie Chan were to walk across the street, I will run past and like either bow or start crying. All kinds of stuff.
You'll bow.
Yeah, I'll. Listen, I'll learn the most basic of Mandarin to talk to this man.
Wow, to talk you about to Google, to talk to Jackie Chan. You know what? That's fair. Here's the final lyric from Kanye West, a song called All Day, where he says, shout out to Jackie Chan, I need to stunt right now. They be looking at the gram. I'll be looking at the gram. He's like, that's us right now. So people really respect that Jackie Chan does
people respect
stunts. That seems to be the, that
Jackie
seems
Chan,
to be the,
yes.
the thing.
Jackie it's Chan like, does all of his own stunts. He was Bruce Lee's stuntman for a while, or he was part of that group of stunt people. And yeah, did all of his own stunts. There's one in, I believe it's called Chinatown, where he like broke his leg and he's still doing a stunt. They made a sock over his cast that looked like a shoe, and he's still doing stunts. That's how much he respects the art of it all.
It's insane.
It's not Meanwhile, just him trying to make a movie, trying to finish a movie. It is him bringing love to his religion.
That's truly insane. Meanwhile, I can't even box with my damn sprained wrist. America's just not built the same. We not built the same. That's it for this episode. Thank you for joining me, Garrick. I appreciate you.
Of course. Taking the time. Of course. Not a problem.
Can you tell them where you're going to be found? Yes. That's yes. Where can they find you?
They can find me at Garrick Brendard on Instagram and Twitter. I don't tweet anymore.
And on the Guilty Pleasures podcast. And on the
Guilty Pleasures podcast with
where he talks
my boy, Zach and Kelsey. We talk about movies that are underappreciated and overappreciated. Who knows? Mm-hmm. It's just how we feel that day.
Uh-huh. I've been on a couple episodes of that. If y'all want to go check them out, I was on the Cheetah Girls episode and the Gossip Girl episode because girl shit is what I do. Garrick is not on those episodes. I was filling in for him.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
That's it?
Yes, I believe that is it. If you would like to find us, you can find us at BPLP Pod across all platforms. If you have a topic that you think we should cover, you can email us at blackpeopleloveparamore@gmail.com. Rate us again. Spotify now allows you to rate podcasts, so go ahead and do that. 5 stars only, like I said. I saw somebody give us a little 4 stars. Don't do that. Nope, don't do that
nope,
again.
Nope.
Don't play with me. Don't never, give us no deal. Never. 4 stars. Never. Never been a 4-star bitch in my life. Always been 5 stars. So go ahead and make that move. If you actually have something to say, write out a review on Apple Podcasts. That is very helpful to me. I'm Sequoia, your co-host, per usual. And that's it. Bye. Say bye, Garrick. Tell
bye. Sorry. I'm sorry. Bye.
Bye, y'all.